Right, so we are following the fruitful disciples. We're now at session 5, and it's about loving his children as family. Loving his children as family. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 12, and verse 46 in the screen Bible, it's on page 978. Page 978, that would be great. And just as you're turning to that, I just want you to... I don't know what your experience is of family. Some of us have very difficult experiences of family. Yeah. Others maybe have much more comfortable experiences of family. We each come from different places. But as I reflect back and I think in terms of myself growing up, I had two younger sisters. And, you just experience life together, don't you? And there's much we hold in common together, which gives us, binds us together even now. Now, sometimes there's things which we maybe don't like about each other and those sort of things, yeah? But there's a lot in common that binds us together. And so we continue to meet together and to love and to care for one another in ways which are appropriate. I also just want you to think, before we look at this passage, about what families were like in the ancient world. And, when we think of the word family, we tend to think of 2 plus 2, type of thing, but it was quite different in the ancient world. To start off with, they tended to have a lot more children, but then when they talked about family, it was something far more embracing them, more like we might use the word wider family. And of course, typically when someone married, they didn't disappear off to a town some distance away, they'd stay on their father's estate. And so they'd be very much very close, be a household, a wider household would be part of that family. And not only that, but the kids themselves, they may have a little bit of outside tuition, but a lot of the tuition would be from the parents. And they'd be trained in the parents' trades, particularly the father's trade, or the girls would be trained in what the mother did. And of course, by the age of 12, they were considered basically adult. So you didn't have the whole teenage concept which we have today. So there's a lot of things which were quite different. And so it's quite useful for us just to appreciate some of that background as we come to this passage. Now, so Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46. And Jesus has been talking in a house with disciples and also with Pharisees and others. And it says this: while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Here are my mother and brothers." And I put up there for you a photo which was taken, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago of our own family. Loving God's children as family. Yeah. And the first thing I want to say is this, is what Jesus is saying to you and I is that we are closely related. We're not just closely related, we're closely related to Jesus. Jesus calls you and I brother and mother if we do the Father's will. If we do the Father's will, it's what Jesus calls us. And that is remarkable to me. You know, quite often we talk about us being brothers or sisters in Christ. Now I might ask the question, whereabouts in the Bible does it say brothers and sisters in Christ? The answer is it doesn't. Okay, which might surprise you. That's interesting. It's a term we use a lot, which is not in the Bible. And Jesus actually calls us his brother. And in fact, if anything, what we are is we're brothers and sisters in the Father. Actually, okay? It's under the Father that we are brothers and sisters. Now, I haven't got a problem with people saying, I'm not offended by people saying brothers in Christ. I've used the term a lot in the past as well, as I came to that. And I suddenly started to, I was like, that's interesting. And actually, the Bible roots it in the Father. And so what we find is that Jesus is actually the firstborn among the brothers. So in Romans 8 verse 29, what we read is that God is working all things for the good of those who love him according to his purpose. Okay, so God's working for good in your life that you might conform to the likeness of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Okay? So what God is doing in your life through all the different circumstances that you're facing is he's conforming you to Christ so that you would look like his brother, as indeed you are his brother. Jesus names you. You are his brother. You are his sister. Indeed, in that passage, you are his mother. Now, you might struggle to get your head around that, okay? But that's what Jesus says in this passage, okay? We are closely connected to Christ. And what he's doing is he's transforming you so that you conform to that likeness. In Hebrews, and chapter 2, it says these words, that Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother. Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother. Just think about that for a moment, sister. Yeah? Jesus isn't ashamed. I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know. You know, maybe things you regret this last week. Ways in which you feel maybe ashamed about some of the things of this last week. Jesus says he's not ashamed to call you his brother. And our family, our brotherhood, as I said, is totally based on the Father. In Ephesians 3, it says, the Father from whom the whole family on earth derives its name. We derive our name from our Heavenly Father. In 1 John chapter 4, it says these words. It says, we love him who first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Those are strong words. If we say that we love God, but at the same time we hate a brother or a sister, we are a liar, says the Bible. In other words, we don't really love God unless we also love God. Our brother. For anyone who cannot love his brother whom he can see, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And so we have this command, John writes, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We are members of one household, says in Ephesians 2. In other words, in a household, the household typically included the servants in the household too, as well as the wider family. And the household, I call it, was a cooperative unit, closely connected together, but with a sense of purpose. They were doing something together. And that is vitally important to us, and we will come to that a little bit later on. And then we find also that the Apostle Paul also, he regularly describes people as being brothers and sisters of his, find it in many of the letters. And so what I want us to do is I call us to remember who you both are. You know, when you look across the room and you see someone else in this room, remember who both you are and who they are. You see, family is a fact, but friendship is a feat. It's something we have to work towards. It doesn't always come naturally. Friendship with some people come very naturally, we'll find a close connection. Friendship with others can be a lot more difficult. And so it is, sometimes even within our own families, although in name there is a very close connection, actually there is a lack of friendship within our families. And so it can be too in the church family. There is fact, we are family. But we have to work at friendship together and making that close friendship, that close connection which God has created in Christ Jesus to be real in our daily lives. And so Jesus says to us, he says, he doesn't just call us brothers, he calls us friends too. He says this in John 15, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends. Okay, you are brothers in Christ, of Christ. Okay, you are brothers of Christ. Okay, but you're not just brothers in the sense you were born that way and now you don't get on. You are also friends of his, as we do what his Father calls us to do. I call you friends, says Jesus, because I have let you know everything the Father has told me. See, Jesus doesn't hold secrets back from you. He reveals things through to you, that you might know the truth. In fact, his words, that you might know the Father's business. You know what the Father is about. You see, this household of God is very closely connected together. And our Heavenly Father loves you. And his hope is in you. He trusts you as his child. And so he calls you to do God's will. Remember who you are. Then also in a family, we have common family experiences. So there on the screen is our Christmas dinner a couple of years ago. You know, as I look back with my family, there's many things I can look back on as common experiences. Sometimes when we meet up, we'll talk about a holiday experience we had, or something like that, you know, from many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that you and I, as children of God, are each born again as a child of God.
Amen.
We know what it is to be children of God, and we have that in common. We know what it is to be going from darkness into light. That's a common experience we have. And we're called to share each other. Remember this, my friends. Remember, as you look between the other person across the other side of the room, you have the same experience in this. You've each been born again in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But it's something to rejoice in together. You have something in common, okay?
Hallelujah.
You might not all ride motorbikes. You might not all watch the same football team, follow the same football team. Whatever it is, okay? It doesn't matter. What you are is you're born again in Jesus Christ. Okay? And you have that in common. And so talk about these things.
Amen.
Yeah? These common experiences. When we gather together, that's what we talk about, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why it's good to come together. We worship Jesus Christ together.
Yeah.
We love to sing the songs of praise together, okay? Because we each know something of God's love in our lives and his power in us.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
We know what it is to be baptized. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about one baptism. It's one spirit. The spirit who's in you. It's also in the other person too.
Mm.
We have one Father. The Father I pray to is the same Father that you would pray to.
Yes.
Okay, we got this is good, isn't it? Okay? Okay? We have one Lord that we serve. When I receive my instructions from above, it's the same person I'm receiving my instruction from as whom you receive instruction from. There's one Lord we're serving. That passage says there's one faith, okay?
Yes.
What I believe about Jesus Christ is the same as you believe about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the Saviour, he's the Lord.
Yes.
We have one hope, looking forward to the future. And we are one body. Remember what you share. Remember what we share together. These things are so important. But not only that, I've alluded to it earlier, we have a common family business. Now, why might I put a Porsche up there?
Yeah.
It's one of the few car companies that is truly a family business. Okay, it's owned by the Porsche family. And they're still 100% owned. Okay? It's a family business. And look what they make. That's pretty good, isn't it? It's quite a nice car. I've seen those of you don't like cars, it does look quite nice, doesn't it? So?
By forceps,
no, probably not.
Cars.
It probably was given due care and attention. Yeah.
Cows are car.
We are in a family business. And actually what's happening in this family business is the production of a quality product, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what's going on at this point in time. We're called to do the will of the Father. That's what the Father's will is. It's the establishment of the Church. Okay. There's a picture of us doing the will of the Father. in the marquee out here on Mission Week. Yeah. A whole bunch of people from different churches came and gathered together a common family business. We want to see people come to faith in Christ. And so what is the will of the Father? One of the things he says is we're to make disciples together. Okay? As we go out, we're to make disciples, he says. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 28. If we look at Luke 10, what we find is he sent out the 72 in twos. Okay, they went out together. This is vitally important. We're making disciples together. In Acts, what we find is so often, not always, but so often, people go out in twos or in small teams together. They go out to plant churches, to witness, to evangelize. They go out together. What Jesus says is, he says, you, plural, are the light of the world. In fact, what it is as people look at us and they see the love that is among us, they will know that we are truly God's disciples. And so if they see the love that is between us, actually, we have to be together. Because you can't show love on your own. Love demands more than one of us. Let's make disciples together. That's the will of our Father who is in heaven. The will is also that we are sanctified in love. Ephesians 5 verses 1 and 2 says these words. The older NIV says, be imitators of God, therefore, as God's dearly loved children. Be imitators of God, as God's dearly loved children. And live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. To be sanctified means to be made holy. That's a biblical word, means to be made holy. And true holiness is found in a heart of love. It's not about laws and regulations, it's in a heart of love. Love towards God and love towards one another. But we will be sanctified in love. And so we were looking last week at husbands and wives. We know a husband's to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her to cleanse her, to wash her, to present her holy and without blemish to himself. We're to be sanctified in love. And then we're also to be united in one body. Christ has made us one. We're called to keep that unity. We're called to keep that unity, that we would be of one body built up in Him. And what God calls each one of us to be, each of us to do, is to join in with this. Join in together in the Father's work. The truth of the matter is that you are God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for you to do. It's a bit like what Colin was saying about the spoon and the spade. You may feel more like what you've got is the teaspoon. But together, if we've all got little spoons together, we can build that trench, And that's the key thing. As you do your bit, as I do my bit, as he or she does that bit, actually together, we'll see disciples being loved. Amen. We'll see love, and we'll see us being one body in Christ Jesus. Not only do we have common family business, not only do we have common family experience, not only do we have a close family relation, but also we have a common family inheritance. In 1 Peter 1 verse 4 it says, he has given us new birth into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. My friends, we've got a future. And where you're going, I'm going too. Okay? You're not going to get rid of me that easy. Even death is going to separate you from me. Okay? We're going to be there together and we're going to be dancing on the streets and singing in the aisles and all that sort of stuff, okay? We are looking forward to the great new resurrection, okay? When we'll be raised from the dead and we will be with God forever and there'll be no more tears in our eyes, there'll be no more crying or pain, there'll be no more sickness. but all will be well. And we're looking forward to it. And the most glorious thing is this, is Jesus Christ will be right there in the centre. We'll be right next to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we'll be able to rejoice in him and give him glory and honour. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will no longer be all the difficulties of the troubles of this world. It will be gone.
Praise God.
And it will be without end. My friends, we are going to be together for eternity.
Amen.
So,
amen. Where's that going on now?
Exactly my words, actually. So we better start getting them together now. Okay? So we better start getting them together. There's a little old, it's a little song. Okay, so it goes like this, some of you may know it. To dwell above with saints we love. That will be glory. To dwell below with the saints we know. That's another story. That's very true, isn't it? It's very, very true. But actually it comes back to about that sanctification in life. And some people can be very hard to get along with, very difficult to build that friendship. And yet what God is doing in each of our lives is he's making us more and more like Christ. Paul writes these words, I remember you and I pray for you with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. I believe this is God's call on us, that we will be partners in the gospel, real partners in the gospel. He's made us one in Christ, let's do this. And I'm just going to highlight some items from scripture which I call the code of friendship. If we want to get on well together, this is the way the Lord's directed. First of all is initiation. And the family members are often initiate someone, we're dedicating this for a week's time. And the family pray in the Church of Christ is through baptism. Also in any family we have celebrations. You might celebrate birthdays or anniversaries, etc. Our celebration is in communion. We take communion together. We share in the bread and the wine together. Sometimes we can make it a very solemn affair. But actually, as we remember what Christ has done, as we look forward to Christ coming again, this is a genuine celebration of his goodness and his love, and all that is there for us in Christ Jesus. We're called to eat together. In 1 Corinthians 11, it takes some instructions about eating together, whilst in some of the New Testament called agape meals, okay, meals of love. And so it's vitally important. We as a church, we eat together. We have that fellowship together. We have that real communion together, not just in a bread and wine sense, but in a more general sense. We would have that opportunity to develop real deep friendship together. We're also called to greet one another in the New Testament with a holy kiss, which was appropriate to their culture. Maybe today, for some of us, it may be a kiss. For some of us, it may be a hug or an embrace. Or maybe it's a fervent handshake of some kind. But the point is this, it's about a greeting. It's not about just a formality. It's somewhere where actually we want to greet one another and welcome one another into our fellowship together. We're called to confer with the Father together. If we want to do God's will, actually we're going to come to him together in a family. The kids might confer to the family or something. Confer to the Father or something. We're called to come to him in prayer. In Acts chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves, amongst other things, to prayer.
Yeah.
Let us pray together. That's why I really believe in the importance of prayer as a church fellowship. I want to encourage you to participate in that, because in that we're coming to the Father from whom our family derives its name, and we're seeking him for his will, that his will be done in our family just as it is in heaven, in our community in Telford just as it is in heaven. Let us care for each other. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a story. And it's a final judgment, and there's a sheep and there's goats, and he separates the sheep from the goats. And the sheep have walked before him, and he says that they can go to eternal life. And it's like, why? It's because they've looked after those who are his. They've cared for those who are his little ones, as he describes them in that. Whereas those who don't look after his little ones are sent away to eternal destruction. It's a key challenge. One job. Chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. I'm also going to turn to it and read that out. 1 John 3, verses 16 to 18. Excuse me just a moment. what it says. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. It's a genuine care for one another. We're going to want to talk family matters together. In Ephesians 5, it talks about us speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together. In John 15, it talks about the fact that Jesus was sharing his Father's business with his friends. He's telling them what the Father's about. And so it's natural that we would also want to talk about that. I just challenge ourselves. You know, sometimes we find it, we can find it difficult, maybe some of us, to speak of the things of the gospel, even to one another as Christians. And I want to encourage them. What's the Lord been doing in your life this week? Sharing with others. What's God spoken to you about? Maybe you don't want to share it with everybody. Maybe there's just one or two people that you can share that with in terms of what's happening. What is God doing? Because God is at work. And then in James chapter 2, I'm not going to read it, but you're welcome to read it outside of this room. James chapter 2, there's a whole 11 verses about favouritism and how we treat one another. There's to be no favouritism in the church of God.
No.
We're to treat each other equally, no matter what the background of each individual concerned. And so with these things in mind, there's practical things for us to do. To eat, to greet, to pray, to care. Talk about the things of God together. For there not to be any favouritism. Actually, what we'll find is we'll be genuine partners in the gospel. Genuine partners in the gospel. May God enable us. We are the family of God. Where we know genuine friendship and genuine partnership. And the will of God be done in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.